Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Psalm 46, where we're going to be today. Hallelujah. How you feeling? You good? I have been, that was Psalm 46, that was Kevin. How you doing, man? I want to thank our tech team back there serving, figuring stuff out. You guys rock. Okay. Hey, all right, we're family, right? Can we just be family for a minute? Is that all right? All right. There's many people in this room. You feel called to ministry. You feel called to vocational ministry on some level. And there are lots of plans on how you should run your ministry. And what we have today in the church is there is a celebration of religious entrepreneurialism. The religious entrepreneur is celebrated today. And there's coaching networks and there's plans and there's all kinds of stuff to teach you how to have a successful church, and they almost never include learning to hear the voice of God. There's lots of leadership classes, and there's a problem when leadership in the church doesn't look any different than leadership in corporate America. Right? Now, there's a lot we can learn from leadership in corporate America because they have a financial interest in doing it the best way possible. But our, unfortunately, much of the church has a financial interest in doing it the best way possible. But that's not supposed to be our motivation. Amen? Are you with me? Our motivation is really supposed to be to hear and obey the voice of the Lord. Are you with me? And so as a church, I know I'm not so naive as to think that we're doing it perfectly all the time. Right? I don't know, maybe... maybe some people feel that you're getting it right all the time. I don't. And I often have meetings after we do stuff to say, okay, how did we do? Did we hear God? What were you hearing? What was your influence? Where were you going? Why were you following this way? Corey and I will have a meeting about worship leading, and we'll process how he did. I thought he did a great job. Did you? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I thought he did a great job. But we'll process that. You know, what were you thinking here? Where were we going there? Because we want to hear God together. I don't want to hear God by myself. I want to hear God together with people who have a vested interest in hearing and following God. But in the ecumenical church, there's a church calendar, and on certain Sundays you do certain things, right? And so today's Palm Sunday, pretty big deal, right? Would you agree? Palm Sunday is a big deal. I'm not going to be talking about Palm Sunday because when I talked to God, He didn't bring it up once. He didn't bring it up once. And it's an important thing, read your Bible, but he didn't talk to me at all this week. I had a really neat conversation with somebody who is a leader in, I'll say a leader in the prayer movement. And he's not actually not in Kansas City. But he had a dream, and I got a copy of the dream, and the Lord started speaking to me about what the dream means. And... And in it, he had an interpretation, and this very large part of the dream had to do with the financial crisis that this ministry was going through. And I called him up, and I had to tell him, hey, I know we don't know each other, but I have a bit of an interpretation for your dream. It's been my experience that God is never worried about money. He's never, ever, ever been concerned about money, and he almost never talks about it to me. I don't know about your financial situation, but he almost never, ever talks to me about money. He's never worried about whether or not I'm going to be able to pay my bills. He's never fearful. He's never feels like there's a time crunch. Have you experienced that? We talk about this all the time, but I think it's really important to get right into our heart, not just into our mind, but into our heart. You know, when you start having some sort of calamity coming, some sort of financial crisis coming, and you cry out to God about this thing that's due Friday, and God starts talking about stuff 3 years down the road, right? We talk about this all the time, but we have to keep hearing this. God talks about that stuff way down the road because he knows you're going to make it there. He's not worried about this Friday. He's not worried about the first. He's not worried about the bill. He's like, no, listen, there's a future way beyond that. Because when you look short term, you only get vision for short term. He's like, look long term. You're going to make it, man. You're going to make it. And so I told this guy, hey, yeah, that's really neat what you thought this part meant. And it could be, but I really think that it means this. And it was just a far larger, more important picture about the impact of his ministry. And he could take that whole revelation from God that God is trying to show, listen, regionally and the importance of what you have to set the agenda, so to speak. You could use that entire revelation that I'm giving you and jam it into the realm of finance if you want. Or it could just be so much bigger and it could include the realm of finance. Does that make sense? And money's important, at least my creditors think. It's very important. But it's just one little part. And it's important that we grow as a church, but it's just one little part of who we are as a church. And you'll notice that you know, it's Good Friday. We sent out a mailer to all the neighborhoods around Boca Middle. Does anybody see it? It's nice, right? It's in your bulletin package. And we as a church, we try to be us. We try to be us. There's a lot of really, I got Easter mailers from churches that just look really amazing. They're really professionally done. They look nice. You know, come celebrate Easter. People are having an Easter egg hunt. We're not having an Easter egg hunt. And if you're looking for a church that has Easter egg hunts, this isn't your, that's just not who we are. And so we're not competing with any church. We're competing with the enemy. Amen. We're competing with the enemy for souls. We're not competing with any church. We're on the same team as every other church in Boca. I mean, from the Greek Orthodox church to the Pentecostal churches to the Baptist churches, we're all on the same team. Right? The enemy would like to divide us, but we're all on the same team. But we each have a different role. And it's really important that we each understand our role. You see, everybody in this room, you feel called to do something by God. And if you haven't received that call, God has a very special purpose for you. And you're not in competition with anybody else in the room. Hear me. You're not in competition with anybody else in the room. If you feel called to be a worship leader and Corey was up here today and not you, Corey did not take your place. You're not in competition with Corey. You celebrate what Corey got, and God has the same for you. Right? Right in your timing. You know, and ladies, you know, when we get to a place where we want to get pregnant or we want to buy a home or that lifetime milestone, in life, in these big things that come up and like, wow, they got there before me and it's hard for you to celebrate. They didn't steal it from you. Right? They didn't steal it from you. They didn't steal, you know, oh, they're getting, you know, married and not me, or they got pregnant, not me. Right in God's perfect timing, it's going to happen in your life. Right in God's perfect timing. Right in God's perfect timing. I mean, when you get pregnant, you don't want a baby 3 months later. That's not God's timing. Listen. I mean, medically, you don't want that to happen. You do not want things happening outside of perfect timing. You have to trust God is on your side. And right in your perfect time, right in his perfect timing, stuff is going to happen. So you can celebrate that somebody else got the breakthrough that you want. You don't have to be jealous or bitter. Because they didn't steal it from you. God has it for you as well. And there's churches in town that are very, very, very good at casting a very, very broad net. And we're not in competition with them. We don't have to try to be them to get what they're getting, because I want what God has for us. I want what God has for us. And if we try to act like someone else to get someone in here, then we got to act like them to keep them here. And I like us. We're a Spirit-filled church. And I plan on staying that way. And by Spirit-filled, I'm not saying other people don't have the Spirit of God. I'm saying that we're a charismatic church. This is what we are. We like when God shows up in a tangible way. That's important to us. And so we sent out a little, I'm just kind of filling you guys in. Is that all right? We're just being family here. We talked, we sent out a little postcard. Read the text. It's not, you know, hey, be happy. It's, hey, you got a purpose. We believe in the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. God's in a good mood, contending for revival. And if you're looking for that, we're your church. If you're looking for, you know, I'm sorry, never mind. See, you can value your gift so much that you devalue others. I don't want to devalue anybody else's gift. I don't want to devalue any other church. I'm very happy that people are being reached in Boca Raton by whatever church it is. And we can celebrate that, amen? And I just pray all over, all over this city and over this region that people meet Jesus for the very first time this Sunday and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Psalm 46. So we got a bunch of these left over. We could have ordered 1,000 or 5,000, and we needed more than 1,000, so we have several thousand left. So pick up a handful of them, seriously, and post them, you know, at your office, whatever. People are looking for something. Amen? My family, we got a mailing list of every house in our neighborhood, and we're personally sending one out to our entire neighborhood, inviting them to Easter. We're just going to do that this week. And just do something creative to invite people to encounter Jesus. All right, Psalm 46, are you there? Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the high dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Wow, I'm getting happy. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Maybe that's what Selah means right there. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Can you say amen to the reading of the Word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is going to be the most Palm Sunday message you've ever heard. But I remember, you know, I really try to hear God in what we preach. I remember one Sunday, Mother's Day, I preached on... Reached on the blood, I think. You know, just whatever, you know. Whatever. We're just going to go with what God says, yeah? So in my prayer this week, as I was trying to prepare a message in line with what we've been preaching about, motivations, heart, the desire to spread the passion and love of God to the earth, the Lord would not let me continue in what I had planned. And he made it very clear to me that I was to preach on this psalm and the message that comes in it. And I really feel like there's people in the room that you have been in the midst of an attack, that there has been a spiritual battle over you. And unfortunately, it has involved people. And I feel like the Lord has a message of hope for you today and a message of freedom today and a message of encouragement today. I feel like God has... is really reaching out to some people's hearts. You see, God is our God. And our God, fortunately for us, is the God of heaven and earth. Right? We're not betting on a dark horse. We're not just hoping. Like we get to be in the March Madness bracket knowing who already wins. Like, we're starting at the beginning knowing who wins in the end. You know, I'm in a bracket right now, and I'm losing badly. The good news is I'm tied for last, so I get to share that honor, which makes it, you know, misery loves company. Have you ever played that? You ever played the March Madness brackets? Here's how it works. They call it March Madness because in college basketball, they invite 64 teams to be part of a tournament, right? And so what you do is you figure, okay, here's 64 teams. Let me figure who's going to win each and every round down to 32, down to 16, down to 8, down to final 4. Then it comes down to 2 in the final game, and you pick the winner. And for me, when I would start at the 64, right, and then you have to pick all the winners all the way to the end. And then, like, you know, there's the final 4, which most people have heard of, right? But what happened to me is 3 of the final 4 would lose at the very beginning of the tournament. I'm just like, why watch from here? You know, all my winners are gone. Like, there's no way I'm, you know? And so we might feel sometimes in life that same way. Like, we've figured out how things are going to work out. And we figured this is the path that's going to lead to that, and it's going to lead to this, going to lead to that. And then that just fell apart. And that was the whole pathway that I thought that was going to lead to the promised land. And now there's no path to the promised land. Right? And what I found is God doesn't necessarily show you the path to the promised land. He just shows you, hey, here's the promised land, and you're going to wind up here. Just trust me. And so we try to figure out the path. And then the path breaks down. And we think, oh, I'm never going to get there now. And we forget that God never told us the path. He just told us the promised land. I've seen people recently who've just come out of the fire. And sometimes the fire is, it seems so real. The turmoil seems so real. But it's not, because God already knows where you're going to wind up. You know, you might be going through trials right now and trauma, tribulation, some other TR words, who knows? I don't want any of those. I want peace and prosperity and packages that I didn't pay for, right? But I'm here to let you know, God's got a good word for you today. All right, let's get in the scripture here, and I'll break it down a little bit. He says, God is our refuge and strength. We're in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Wow. Wow. See, we're not going to fear anymore. Aren't you happy the Word of God just told us that? Victory. We can go home, and we're never going to fear again, because we know that God is our God, and He's with us. Now go out and take over the world. No more fear. No. You see, the psalmist here, he's kind of making a declaration over himself. Sometimes you just got to make a declaration over yourself. You have to lie against the lie. If I can say it that way. You got to lie against the lie. Because the enemy doesn't know if you're lying or telling the truth. He don't know. The enemy has no discernment. He thinks he's right. Have you noticed that? And so he'll tell you, you know, he's whispering in your ear all day long, you ain't going to make it. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where the path is. Things ain't going to work out. Oh, you thought that was, have you thought possibly the path that you got is from the enemy to begin with because he knew it wasn't going to work? Is it possible that he knew that that path was not going to get you there, so he got you down a path of futility and frustration? And I can't think of another F words. I got to work on that. And so when it fails, he's like, so it's not going to work out now, is it? You're like, it ain't going to work out now. You're never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. And it just starts, flame just comes up in the frustration of failure. And sometimes you just got to look at the failure, and the enemy's looking at you waiting for some agreement, and you're like, whoo, glad that didn't work out. Now God's real plan is going to come to pass, just like I knew he would tell me. Woo! I'm glad the false path fell away. I'm happy today. Woo! I was worried for a second that the wrong plan was going to work, but I'm glad it didn't. I'm not going to fear, because my God is God. You got to lie against a lie. Lie says you're not going to make it. Well, I know I'm going to make it. My hope is in God. never did think that was going to work out. Woo! Glad that temptation was taken away. Hallelujah. 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 Crying for joy right now. God is my God. You ever been there? You ever been there? Come on, we were talking to fire starters this week about it. Sometimes you got to tell the devil, I ain't got time for that today, you know? As tempting as falling into that pit sounds, today I just don't have time for it. I'm thinking about falling into a pit of depression, but I got to go pick up my kids. I got stuff to do. I just don't have time for that today. Maybe tomorrow I'll slide into a pit of depression, but today I just don't have time. Sorry. Have you been there? Sometimes I'll be there. I'll just be like feeling like, oh, man. Here's what I fall. I find out that people are being, they get tripped up by the enemy. That people here, believe a lie. And I just begin to grieve. Like, I get to really, 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 really grieve. Like, someone I really love is being pulled away, or they start to fall in a pit. And then I start like, oh, what could I have done? Oh, my gosh, how's this going to affect people? And I just start to slide, like, and they generally don't talk to me and tell me what's happening. And so it's like, oh, what could I have done? And it starts to really hurt, and I'll start to slide into it. I'm just like, oh, just go. Oh, I got to do the newsletter. I don't have time for that right now. Maybe I'll just drink a Coke, you know, and then I'll just, can I just be real? That happened to me today. I was, or not today, this week and today. It happened to me about 10 minutes ago. I was, no. I heard some bad news about people I love, and I was just like, oh, man, I'm praying for them, and I'm just feeling sad, and I'm like, man, I got to make some errands, and I was like just sitting there kind of struggling with it, and I was just thinking, I really don't have time for this week. I love them. Oh, look, there's McDonald's. Let me get a fish filet and a Coke. Bless them, Jesus. Sometimes you just gotta make a decision. You're just like, I'm gonna lie against the lie. The lie says things are not gonna work out, things are gonna be awful, it's a calamity, my whole world is gonna fall down around me, and then you're just like, well, you know, I've been down that road before, and if it falls down, I'll, work on it some other way, but I really don't have time for that right now. You know what I mean? Because we'll listen to the calamity and we'll allow it to cause more calamities. Read the article about a man recently who was found innocent of murder. Now, what's interesting about that is he was in the California prison system. And when you get there somehow, when you get to prison is when you really start becoming a criminal. Don't exactly understand how it works. But he gets to prison. He joins a prison gang. And he starts, doing bad things for the prison gang, right? So he's in jail. He's on trial for murder. He's starting to, put in work for the gang, and he winds up killing a guy. Then he assaults another cellie, and they catch him with contraband. And so, like, in jail, he has, like, 90 years worth of sentence. And then his trial finally comes, and he's found innocent of the thing that sent him to jail. And he could have been out. Well, that's what happens when you agree. Like, we're going to make you I'll just live down here then. In the depression, let me just live down here. Oh, woe is me. I'm not going to get my stuff done. I'm not going to be a good parent today. I'm not going to be a good employee today. I'm not going to be a good husband today because I'm allowing myself to live in this pit of depression. And then it causes all these other problems. And then the very thing that puts you in the pit, you find out, oh, that was just a misunderstanding. No, we're good. Oh, now I'm stuck in the pit of depression. You made all kind of other mistakes, right? Start gossiping about your friends. Oh, she said that? What, she said that about me? Wait, what'd she say? I thought she was my friend. They said that? Well, let me tell you something about her and about their friends and about, oh, no, I never did like them. Did you know that she said this to me? Oh, I know it was a confession, but really. She said, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it was a misunderstanding? We just got to lie against the lie. That's what the psalmist is doing here. He's saying, oh, I got 11 verses here. I got to hurry up. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. You see, the enemy wants you to think you need to run from God when things get bad. Hear me again. The enemy wants you to think you need to run from God when things get bad. Wants you to run from other Christians, run from fellowship, run from love, run from accountability, run from people who love God, run away from them, run toward people who don't. Here's your real friends, people who don't base their lives on the truth. No, that is not the way it's going to work. Check this out. Therefore, we will not fear, verse 2, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Here's the important little phrase in that entire passage right there. You ready? It's right here at the end of verse 3, at its swelling pride. Now, this is the vanity that the natural man or the natural creation has. This is the vanity that makes them think that they're actually in charge of something. Generally, it's the loudest person who gets heard the most. And we think because we're the loudest, we're the most right. And they think if they complain the most or the loudest, they cause the most problems, then they're right. If they get the most people who don't argue with them, then they're the most right. But the Bible calls that vanity. We know in Psalm chapter 2, let's just turn over to the left a little bit. Psalm chapter 2. You know this. Psalm 2. Well, I'm over here in Job. I don't want to be there today. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? A vain thing. Why do they plot in vain? What does that mean? That means they're scheming and plotting and planning something that will not work. It will not come to pass. It's like when you, if you're a parent, when you got little kids and they come up with a great plan to do something. And they think just because they agree that it's truth. And they come to you, well, Dad, we think this. I'm like, well, too bad. No. Let me explain to you. Blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. Yeah, oh, I hear you. No. You don't understand. We planned this thing. No. How about no? Let me help you something. You're plotting in vain right now. And no point will that ever come to pass. Right? Like, see, God is like the Father. And the raging nations are like the little kids who think if they can get enough people to agree with them, that they've established some sort of truth. And God is like, y'all are plotting in vain. This is not going to work. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Look, everything around me looks like it's chaos, looks like it's turmoil, looks like the very mountains are falling into the sea. Like, oh my gosh, this is, the whole world is coming down around me. And he's like, look at the words. Though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. That's all it is, a swelling pride. That's where they're like, oh, God, how come the wicked are prospering? How come these who aren't following the rules are getting ahead? And God's like, they're not getting ahead. What measuring stick do you want to use? If you think the wicked are getting ahead, you're using the wrong measuring stick. Because the Bible says at the end of the age, that's it. We tally up the total. And it says even the rows that the wicked hoe are unrighteous. And so they could have the biggest farm. Like, this would matter to some farmers. They could have the biggest farm in the land. Does not give them favor with God. Does not mean God is on your side. And you might today say, well, you know, my business is prospering. Everything's prospering. God is, you know, God has blessed me. No, that is not. The two do not equal one another. That's why in the church we can't worship money. Because money will deceive you into thinking that you're right. And we can't allow it to define our lives. Are you with me on this? And your poverty will try to convince you that you're wrong. But the Bible here says that these are all, this is swelling pride. Swelling pride. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. Are you with me so far? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Contrast that with the mountain sliding into the ocean. You see, it's really, really important that you pick your friends well. And the Bible tells us, here's how you pick a good friend. What comes out of their mouth? If it's turmoil and chaos and division. Understand, you know, we can befriend everybody, but understand, if you put your hope in these people, you might come up bad. There might be turmoil. It might, if peace is not in them. See, it says here that when God is in the midst of the city, there's peace. There's peace with all people. There's peace with our employment. There's peace with our relationships. There's peace in our home. You know, Paul told Timothy and Titus, hey, when you're looking for leaders, here's what you're to look for. People who have peace in their home. People who have peace with their kids. People who are thought of well by the people around them, who could trust them or filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That's not manifested through contentions and gossip and backbiting. And when you keep that in your camp, then all of a sudden you're sucked into it. It's bizarre. If you listen to it long enough, all of a sudden you're drawn into it. And you get in the midst of this warfare. You see, when the arrows are flying, you know, there's no name on them. They just fly. And if you're around in the middle of a war zone, you're going to get hit. I like to just be in the city of peace. I like to be where it's just peaceful. And all the mountains can be falling down and be like, yeah, good thing my hope is not in that. Good thing my trust is not in that. Good thing, you know. The doctor says, you know, hey, you know, well, it looks like, you know, this is going to be fatal. I'm like, well, a good thing that I got a doctor higher than you. I'm glad you're just practicing medicine because I got a doctor who's already got it worked out. When you practice long enough on people like me, you're going to reshape what you think about medicine. You got to tell them. You got to tell them. You got to speak to the storm. Say, well, if I weren't a Christian, that'd be scary. But I got a God who is God. He has the final amen. In all this turmoil you're talking about, that might be bad for someone like you, but for me, I'm all right because God is on my side. He's in the midst of the camp right here with me. See, I drink from the streams of living water, and they make glad the city. This right here is not making me glad. I'm going to drink from a stream that makes me glad. Are you with me? People come to you with turmoil, and she said this, and they said that. I said, if I weren't a Christian, that would be very troublesome. However, I'm a believer, and so I'm not going to get involved in all that. And why don't you go love on that person that you're so angry with? Hallelujah. This is good stuff, I'm telling you. You ready? Where are we at? Verse 6. Verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. For some of you, I just want to let you know, I just feel like the Lord is on this. The morning is coming. The sun is rising over your situation. You want light. See, you just want light in that situation. When light comes, see, right now some of you are in turmoil because there's darkness in it. Let the light shine. Get it in the open. Just get it in the open. Let light shine on it. Let light shine on it. Verse 6, the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms, plural, not the kingdom of God, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. Now, this is not talking about the destruction of our planet. All right? That's not talking about that. That's talking about, we're going back here to verse 2, where he talks about, fear not, the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the seas. That's what he's talking about, all that. All these natural calamities that are coming to make you scared. God begins to move, and they all melt away. When God begins to walk into your situation, see, when the sun rises and the dawn begins and God comes into your situation, light falls and all that chaos begins to melt. Amen? Amen. It all begins to melt. The Bible tells at the end of the age, it will all be tested with fire and only that which is gold will remain. Now, some of you get in the turmoil and you're in the heart chaos and the fire is coming. You're in the fire. You're in the midst of it. There's confusion. There's turmoil. But I'm here to let you know, when the fire comes, you may feel like there's chaos. But in the end, if you will endure, the gold will remain. And you will come out on the other side, maybe a little embarrassed, but you'll come out on the other side as a victor. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. If you've never been through a trial and been like, well, I feel pretty stupid about that one, then you ain't been through a trial. I'm here to prophesy to your future. The season is coming. Is it just me? Or have you looked back? My wife and I were talking last night, and I was just like, man, if we had to go through that again, if I could speak to myself in that period, what would I tell me? Let's see, if I avoided, this is where you get a little confused, right? You're like, well, if I would have avoided that season, if I would have warned myself, then I wouldn't know what I know now. But how could I know what I know now without going through this? What would I tell myself? What would I tell the people around me? Who would I fight? You know, like, what, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not all regenerated yet. And so here's, you know, after we talk about this all the time, there's a couple seasons of our life that we're just like, okay, let me try this again. What would I have done differently? What can I, like, we'll revisit it every 6, 8, 10 months. We're like, okay, let's try this again. What could we have done differently in that season? And I just got to the place, it was just last night, I just said, if I could visit myself in that very, very bad season at the beginning of it, I would just tell myself, you're going to make it through this. You're going to make it through. You do not have to slide into depression. You do not have to be fearful. You are going to make it through. And so those of you who are in the midst of chaos right now, let me speak to you. You're going to make it through. You may not know how right now. It may look like everything is lined up against you, but you are going to make it. Say it with me. I'm going to make it. Ready? One more time. I'm going to make it. One more time. I am going to make it. Come on, believe that. You're going to make it. God is on your side. Ha. Ha. Verse 7. Here's why you're going to make it. You ready? Verse 7, you ready? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. He is our stronghold. He is the fortress that is keeping us safe. That's what a stronghold is. A stronghold is literally a military term where a foreign army has a place in a land and you cannot get them out. Like they're on a mountaintop. That's a stronghold. There's no way we can get them out of there. There's no way we can take over that land. There's no way we could force them out. That is a stronghold. Now, we talk a lot about strongholds of the enemy in our life. Like they have a base of operation. But this thing here says that God himself is our stronghold. He's our stronghold. Like, here's the base of my operation. God. And the earth can do whatever it wants because it's not bigger than God. All the people can say all the stuff about you and your bank account, and Chase can lie against the truth on your financial prosperity. Sometimes I want to look at the check saying, you a lie. Come out, devil. Lie against the truth. Don't let that lie in my house. Say, I'm broke. You broke. What is happening here? You lie. The truth is not in you. Repent. But God is in control. He is your stronghold, and he's not going to be moved. Amen? All right, verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Look at this. This is the attack against the believer. He destroys them all. Keep that up there. This is the attack against the believer. I have a warning for you. I've been teaching this for years, and I believe it to this day. There may be Christians or ministries you don't agree with. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. And if you love people, tell them the same. Because when you attack another Christian or a ministry, you are the one that the Lord is against. He rushes to defend believers, no matter who the attacker is. You don't want to be the attacker. I don't know, there's like 4 gajillion churches in America, and people will leave one church together and do nothing but attack the church. Just go to another church. The fact that people, you don't have to talk bad about and all that, that's the problem with you, not the problem with the church. That's your problem. Wow, they didn't teach you not to gossip there, huh? That is a bad church. Wow. Didn't get your heart issues healed there, huh? Oof. Wow, that is a bad church. Man, They didn't teach you that you're invoking curses on yourself with the way you're talking? Don't fall into that trap. You see, that is the earth raging, inviting you into calamity. It's inviting you into calamity. Don't go there. Don't be tempted. Now, there may be times where you go to people you trust and say, "Listen, I went through this in a church atmosphere, and I need healing. I need to process this. I got some bad theology. There's real spiritual abuse out there. There's real churches that don't treat people well. You may have been lied on, cheated, talked about. Don't write a song about it. Find somebody you trust. Talk to them. Get healed. Pray through it. Repent. Forgive. Release." That's not something you air out there. That's not something that we do in mass. Don't. Because then all of a sudden, you're the one firing the arrows that God's got to destroy. You don't want to be the bow that gets broken. I have seen this. Just trust me on this one. And if you've been in Christianity long enough, you've seen it too. There are major, major, major ministries in America that I fundamentally disagree with. But the important thing is we're on the same team. And our differences are a lesser truth to the fact that we're on the same team. Don't do it. I have had to call people and be like, "Hey, how you doing? You still feel called to ministry? Yeah, take down that Facebook post, because it's never going to happen if you're going to post stuff like that." I called a dude one time. I'll make these kind of calls. You know, I don't care. I just love people. I love truth, really. I called a guy one time whose entire ministry, I never met the dude, his entire ministry was exposing what is wrong in some high-level ministries in America. And I agreed with much of his stuff, and I thought it was funny how he did it. I thought it was really funny, but it was with such a mean spirit. It was so mean-spirited, and it was so judgmental. And I called him up, and I said, "Yeah, hey, bro, yeah, I read your stuff. Yeah, no, I really agree with you on that. How do you deal with all the spiritual warfare that you're going to go under?" He's like, "Oh, no, a curse can't be lit without a cause." You know that in Proverbs. And I said, I think attacking other Christians is a cause, though. I think that's kind of, okay, whatever. Not only is the dude not in ministry now, I see his posts on atheism forums. The guy had an entire ministry of healing miracles, was starting things, was going after stuff, was really had hundreds and hundreds of followers that would send him money. Now I see his posts in atheism forums. I'm like, bro, I grieve. I'm like, don't get in that business. That is not a business. That attacking Christians is not a business you want to be in, because you put yourself outside the camp. Does this make sense? We gotta say, okay, there is an accusing spirit coming against me. Have I welcomed it on some level? Have I entered into it? I'm just trying to help you be free. I gotta say, okay, where have I gotten it wrong? I need to recognize that I'm not walking 100% right. I'm not 100% pure. I have had disagreements with people, and I've gossiped, and I repent. I've allowed bitterness to run my tongue, and it was sin. I was right, but I was wrong. Sometimes you can be so right that you're never more wrong. You can just be so right that you fall right into self-righteousness, and you fall right into being wrong. And you know, the enemy that the enemy will allow you to operate in that pride until it consumes you. Right? And when your heart is not pure, that lie that you believe is the very thing that person will whisper into your ear and exploit. But listen, let's keep going. Ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. "Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth." Verse 9. "He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God." Now, all this striving that you're doing, all the warfare, all the fighting, all the attack that you're under, when you feel like you have to defend yourself, you've stopped just coming under His grace. You're like, "Well, I got to get this done." No, you don't. Listen to this. "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." The God of Jacob. See, praying this week on just some people that have broken my heart recently. I'm just going to be honest. I've just been heartbroken. And I just began praying, and I'm crying out to God. I'm using all the spiritual tricks I can think of. You know, I'm declaring fancy things that I think might work, whatever. And I'm just crying out to God. And, you know, when you're in desperation, you'll try funny things. And you're like, well, maybe this prayer of Jabez will fix everything. Maybe St. Jude will bring him back. You know, you just kind of do stupid stuff, right? I didn't do either one of those things. But you start praying stuff. And I just was praying with fervency and just really going after it. And God just, he spoke to me as clearly as you hear my voice right now. He said to me, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And I said to him, huh? You know, like what does that mean? What, like I'm praying for some people here. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. He's speaking to me here like, man, all this striving you're doing is not moving me. Know that I'm God. Know that I'm God. He's a good father. Let's finish up here. Just turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Or excuse me, chapter 11. And this is what I'm going to end with. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 28. You there? Let me hear you say, yeah. That's enough. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if you know, the last several weeks I've been preaching out of Matthew 10 and 11. And as I was praying this week and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, the Lord speaks that verse to me. Here's what I want to tell you. Are you ready? Yeah. Jesus, come to me. Come to me, all of you who are burdened, right? All of you who are heavy laden. All those who are weary. If you're worn down, he wants to help you out. Listen, we start thinking that we have so many burdens and that we're carrying so much and that if we don't get it right, it's not going to work out. But let's read this scripture in context. Let's go back to verse 27. Ready? Verse 27. Jesus is speaking. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things are handed over to me by my Father. Listen, he starts this entire thing by saying, listen, I am in control. And I can do whatever I want. He has given me authority. I'm the man. I'm running things. I have the final amen. Nothing happens outside of my will. I get the final say. I am God. And here's what I'm going to do with that authority. Verse 28, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm in charge. And since I'm in charge, you come to me, I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll take the burden. Come to me and I'll make life a little bit easier. See, when things are heavy and you're worn down and there's the warfare and there's the fighting and people you love are in chaos and you don't know what's going to happen. And, wait a minute, I'm striving now. Now I'm doing this out of my own power. This is not me by the river. This is not God in the midst of the city. This is something that I need to go to Jesus. And I need to recognize that he is God. And if I bring it to him, he'll give me rest. He will give me rest. You see, God wants you to understand that you are a child of God and that he's God. You see, we are constantly looking for an assignment. We're all about God. Give me an assignment. I'm after an assignment. See, we're after assignments. God is after identity. We're striving for an anointing, for a ministry, for an assignment. He's like, listen, what I want is you to understand that you're a child of God. We're after assignments. He's after identity. He's like, I just want you to get the fact that I'm the good father and you're the child who I love. And when you get that relationship right, it all works out. JJ, come. Hallelujah. 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 Keep it straight. He'll mix you. Just play. Hallelujah. Listen. is my pre-Easter pitch. Are you ready? Got people out there who need to know. They don't have to fight this entire thing on their own. Right? And they're waiting for you to tell them. Get a bulletin. He's good. Number two, I want to pray for people who are in the midst of the fight right now. Because the struggle is real. Who knows what I'm talking about? The struggle is real. You know? It's, you know, it's milk and honey unless it's not, you know? And then it's just the struggle is real. And what you need is just really in your heart the realization that I am His and He is mine. This is what you thought about the whole time. Hallelujah. So let's begin to pray. Father, we love You. And here we go. Holy Ghost, You are very good. And we ask You, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who break our home. Hallelujah. Look at that. Sheba. Some of you, just there's someone in here and you've been under extreme warfare. And it's manifesting in your back. Your lower right back, right there, and it's shooting down your right leg. Ow. We break off that warfare right now. Pray for You, Father. Father, I pray for the ones who had the bizarre respiratory infection come up. And I release Your healing touch right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel like God is carrying away. I don't want to do this for a long time, but I just feel like He's carrying away just some, there's things that we got to learn how to manage, right? We got to learn how to manage life. We can't blame it on the devil. We can't blame it on our spouse. We have to learn how to manage life. But then there's an attack of the enemy, and that we can reject. I can't reject my wife being mad at me because I'm not, you know, paying bills or, you know, like I can't say, get thee behind me, Satan. Really does not work. It's like Satan is behind you. That's why you said that. It doesn't work. We need to learn how to manage life. But at the same point, I just feel like there's just some real warfare that's been going through here. And so right now, if you begin to meditate on the testimony, I believe that the warfare is going to come off some people right now. If you meditate on what God has done in your life, the Lord gave me a vision, just for a couple of you. If you remember Charlie Brown, and there was this dude, Pigpen, he would walk around in a cloud of funk. And I saw somebody, now I'm just going to say this, and don't try to figure out, don't worry about what I'm thinking. But there was somebody who had brujeria on their life. No, it was voodoo. I got that wrong. They have voodoo on their life. And it is, they have gotten it on other people. The fruit of it, and they have not allowed the heart issues to break off the curse. And people have been covered in a fog of funk. But if you begin to meditate on the testimonies of what God has done in your life, there is just chaos going to come off you right now. And I'm going to ask a couple people to come up here. And if I could have Inger, could you come up? I just feel like some of you just need, like, it. The struggle is real. And I just feel like some of you need someone to agree with you and to pray that the warfare is going to lift. That you've been in the struggle and I hope hope the Spirit is agreeing because I'm not articulating this well, but if I'm speaking to you right now, when we were talking about, if you know I'm talking to you, I just need you to come up and start getting some prayer. Let's just start that way. It has just been in your soul. This is real. All right. Sarah, would you come on up? And Diane and Ralph, why don't you come on up? It's a couple more people. Come on, the Lord is going to heal some hearts today. Apparently, the Lord is after some hearts today. Mike, can you come on? No, Ralph. Ralph, you got work to do here. Pray for him later, Ralph. Ralph, you can pray for him later. Pray for the prayer team later. Yeah, Lydia, of course, we need you. Lydia. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. There's some people who need some help. Now I'm going to pray for everybody in the room, but right now we're going to pray for them. Father, just receive where you're at if you need to. Father, that you would come and you would touch hearts right now. You would touch hearts right now and you begin to heal. Heal. Now remember, prayer team, this is anointed prayer. It's not soaking prayer. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. We love you, Father.